Lord, thank you so very much for all the ways you are covering our needs. Thank you also for the opposition, because we are learning so much more about our opponents and praying for their conversion. One in particular who does not have long to live. You long to see her in heaven. She has resisted you for decades. We are praying for her, even with tears. She has put her trust in the Father of Lies, and it will be too late when she's gone. Dear Lady, God loves you so very much. The Lord began, "There is much to do, but as you see, I have surrounded you with devoted believers. True heart dwellers have come to embrace and help you because they hear my voice calling to them, and they live not for their own sakes, but for my will in their lives. And so you have all come together in truth. And how shall I define truth for you? My words are truth, the writings of my prophets and scribes, more truth. The revelation of life before your very eyes is truth. But one cannot put clean waters in dirty vessels. And this is what I wish to talk with you about. My children, my heart dwellers, many of you have been drawn here by my spirit. You are the ones who are highly serious about truth, knowing it and living it. So I am especially addressing you. You cannot walk in the truth if you do not know it. While you understand that scriptures are truth, you know also that in places they leave many things open to conjecture, such as the perpetual virginity of my mother. This you will not understand until you are with me, at least not entirely. But I do not wish to address this now. Rather, I want to speak to you about those things you have learned from many different sources. Guys, forgive my sore throat. I'm just getting over a nasty, nasty cold. Those of you, Jesus continued, who seek truth from pure motives must come to terms with your humanity and its accompanying baggage. In short, you are prone to error, pride, and impressing man. I address these things in you because of your commitment to truth. If you want to draw water from these living springs of salvation gathered here, you must first clean your vessels of all error and vain curiosity. By this I mean the deliberate or accidental false teachings of men who are not inspired by my spirit to impart truth. Within this group, you will find great poets, writers, intellectuals, and mystics, both discerning and undiscerning. Many of these writings appeal to your senses and fancies, but are not to be taken as gospel truth. Even Claire, when she writes, can cast a hue or add a flavor that could be misleading were it to be taken too seriously or out of context or applied as fact and not just fancy. So your sounding board is the scriptures. Because you are mortal and prone to error and the influence of men, you must hold yourselves to a much higher standard. And by that, I mean the Word of God. And by that, when he says mortal, I think he's referring to the fact that we live and die in this world and that only God is continuously alive. And I want to say that on earth we have mortal wisdom, but in heaven we will have immortal wisdom. All wisdom will be open to us, but on this earth our understanding is finite. He continued, I have established my truth among men of honor who have brought it forth without tampering, but there are always discrepancies in translations. Some are obvious, some are more subtle, and some downright deceiving. This is why you need my spirit to understand scripture. And even then, you are limited by your culture and education and how deeply into the truth you are willing to dive. Oftentimes, this borders on things you are attached to, and you're not willing to see them for what they are, because then, if they are proven wrong, you must let them go. Yet the things that stand as most important in Scripture are clear, even though translations vary. Then there are the writings of the mystics, those well-intentioned men and women who have led certifiably holy lives and have received lights from heaven. Among those who are noteworthy is Anne Catherine Emmerich. When you read her writings, she shares details with you that she has been given to help you flesh out my life on earth. Nonetheless, they are not a substitute for Scripture. Nothing is. Many of you have had several different teachers from whom you have absorbed their version of truth. But before you receive these into your hearts and minds, I ask you to measure them against what is written in the Scriptures. I know there are many things that have appealed to you in the past and found a place in your heart and mind, and later you discover they were not true. It is difficult to flush these things from the mind so that truth can replace them, and sometimes it is threatening to your sense of security in the knowledge that you have. This can be very unsettling and cause you to become defensive, but I want to caution you. The sooner you get these untruths out of your thinking, the healthier your thinking will be. That is why I'm addressing this message to only those who want to live the truth. Dear ones, you mustn't let your egos control what is truth for you. Have courage and tackle the misconceptions and untruths in your life. Do not let your ego decide for you what you will believe. Many live a life of error because they're controlled by pride, which is behind ego. They have favorite concepts that they've defended for years and will not yield to truth. Do not choose to be like that. Walk humbly before me and strengthen your true fear of God. When you fear me in the right sense of the word, you will not allow error to lodge in your mind and heart after it is discovered. But if you are self-righteous and wanting to be right, proving yourself in the eyes of man, and prone to worship knowledge, you are walking on a slippery slope. Heart dwellers have a peculiar calling. It is one of simplicity and love. You will not find a highly intelligent here unless they finally come to the end of their rope with the vanity and emptiness of being knowledgeable, not only because they have great knowledge, but because there is never enough to satisfy, and also they have had an encounter with me and found themselves stripped naked. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was sick and in prison, you visited me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. And without a place to lay my head, you gave me lodging. This does not fit the profile of one who spends countless hours on the internet investigating intrigues, conspiracies, and mystical writings. That is why you will find yourself naked before me in the hour I call you. There will be many who know much left sitting in an empty church because they insisted on living their lives deep in pride and self-righteousness and neglected the very things that would have made their souls beautiful to me. You see, when you commit to an existence of constantly wanting to know more about who, what, where, and when, you are satisfying the flesh and the world. The soul that carries my light in their heart is the one who is constantly meditating on me and my word, praying for others, worshiping and thanking me, living in the sacrament of the moment faithfully, forsaking the world and those things the proud delight to have knowledge of. All the while you are curiously seeking worldly knowledge, you are adorning yourself in darkness. Your mind is preoccupied with the filth of this world, and once more you are very prone to being deceived in the spirit realm. One who seeks to know is easily baited by the demons. One who seeks to comfort others, pray for others, meditate upon me, keep me company, and purify their hearts in worship, are not so easily led astray, because they have little interest in the affairs of men. And guys, when he mentioned adorning yourselves in darkness, wow, I saw these plates that looked like armadillo plates being put all over a person's body. Dark, hard plates that blocked the light. Totally blocked the light and just looked evil. Jesus continued, "Please, my dear family, there is much accumulated knowledge among you, and some of it is not only false, but irrelevant to leading a holy life. So avoid foolish controversies, dissensions, quarrels, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Measure all knowledge against what is written in the scriptures. Defer to one another out of love and humility, not wishing to break the bond of fellowship over such worldly things, and humbly yield to those who are charged with watching over your souls. Living in harmony is not a straitjacket. It is rather pure joy, protected by living in the truth and yielding to truth at all times as it becomes known, and avoiding prideful assertions, proving your superior knowledge, which to me is total vanity and is a cause for correction. You were called in brotherly love to be children of the light, immersed in the light, worshiping the light, walking in the light and spreading it. When you come to live in community, you bring with you all kinds of baggage from different sources, some of them good, some bad. But whenever you know I am calling you to a certain place, there is a very good reason for you being there. And much, if not all, is formation to prepare you for the life ahead and also remove deceptions from your thinking. That is why I am asking you to purify things from the past that do not square with my word, so that you may receive the living waters from this well without contaminating them with the world and error. I love you all to distraction, because you have so faithfully given yourselves to me. I brood over you like a mother hen, continuously looking out for the snares of the enemy in your life. Hearken unto me, my sons and daughters. Do not lose heart when I correct you. Stay on the path of truth, which I have taught you, and love one another tenderly and from the heart, even as I love you.